I'm not saying this just to say it, but I was hoping that I could sit and listen this afternoon. And I want to mention just one or two things, perhaps, before taking subject that the Lord allow me, as to some experiences I have experienced in life. In 1965, the United States Air Force sent a young man to Santa Mark. A few months later, he went to Austin and found a girl. And she happened to be the Primitive Baptist girl. The first time she took me home, I found a family that was involved in love. I never felt or seen or experienced that before in my life. I found out that if I wanted to see my wife-to-be on Sunday, I would be at church. When I first went, my first experience of meeting was coming back to church. I say this in all honesty, I suppose. Thanks be to God that He sent my wife, because she never pushed me, but the Lord finally did. In 1956, when I was discharged, I went to work and was then at I had already joined the church, and about 3 or 4 weeks later, we came here to Bethel. In 1956 late. There are some couples there that took us under their wing and guided us. Their memory very well. Brother and Sister Curtis Owens, Brother George Jones, Brother Pete Baker. Brothers and sisters still here. And I look upon your faces, tears come to mind, because you took this wayward young man in. And I cherish that to this very day. I began to wonder what the truth was. I was under the tutelage of another individual of another religious order, who was teaching me out of the deep things. I had made a vow years and years ago that if ever God blessed me to be married to a young lady and I had a family, I would get my act together and get back with the Lord. Because you see, Dad was an alcoholic. And I told myself I would never, ever forget my family. Experience of life. You know, brethren and sisters, I was going down that same road identically, and if it was not for the grace of a living God, I would be there today. All that he asked me to do after I was being taught by this other individual was, Monty, would you go and speak to one of our men? And this is going to relate to a subject I have in mind, the truth. I went to Elder Sam Knight's home. Right over there, sat in his front porch. Brother Sam opened his Bible and began to relate scriptures to me out of the same King James Bible. His thoughts and his teaching was exactly 180 degrees away from what I was being first taught. One of these individuals is telling me a lie. One is telling me the truth. How am I going to determine what the truth is? I went the way of the Bereans. I searched the scriptures to see if these things be so. And guess what? The truth won out. And here I am today. Thanks be to God for that which He has done for me. We understand that the truth cannot be done away with or watered down, as was stated so very eloquently during this series of meetings, but shall stand until this world passes away. And then we'll have the ultimate truth, seeing our God, will know Him, and He'll know us as we are known. And that boggles my mind. Because standing before you is a very ignorant individual. As I was listening to my fellow elders pronounce the gospel of Christ, I thought to myself, I don't know anything. But I also know that when God calls one to preach the gospel, He calls one with his own gift.
Amen.
And I found out that you need to exercise that gift that God has given you to the best of your ability, and you shall be rewarded for that. I'm not afraid to use that word reward, because you are rewarded in life. I made the mistake sometime when I was young in the ministry of trying to imitate my elder brethren, whom I considered the wisest of all. You know what happened? I fell on my face. We don't do that. So if you'll view my gift this afternoon and judge it as coming from the Lord, that's all I ask. We look at the blessed truths of God, and we understand that Jesus Christ is that truth. I think somebody made mention this particular series of meetings about how Christ was denied by his own people. Going into where Christ was being tried and was asked and questioned by Pilate, who we learned understood what the truth was. But I want to bring forth a question that Pilate asked. And I want you to answer that question, if you will, in your own heart. You understand, little child of God, that as Jesus Christ was being questioned by him, Pilate said unto him, after that he was questioned, thou sayest that I am a king, to this end was I born, and for this came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then he asked the question, Pilate said unto him, what is truth? What is truth? The only way that I can describe that, truth is the absence of a lie. Truth is given through and by evidences and witnesses of facts, not hearsay, but of facts.
Amen.
It is the truth that Christ is the Son of the living God. It is the truth that he came down from heaven to do the will of his Father. It is the truth that he preached the gospel, which is the truth. He said, I am the truth, the way, the life. It is the truth that he died upon the cross of Calvary. It is the truth he went to the grave. It is the truth he arose, and thereby, little child of God, my hope rests in that, in the truth of a loving God. What is truth? John 17, we understand, and 17 says this, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Christ Jesus came preaching the gospel of his Father. He said on one occasion, these are not my words, these are the words of my Father. Little child of God, if I come before you this afternoon preaching Hugh Montgomery and bringing my words, tell them to get down. Listen, if I bring unto you that Jesus is the Christ, that is truth, and you listen to that. What is truth, little child of God, as you consider the truth of a loving Father? I am the truth, he said, the way and the life. What are we going to do with the truth, and where are we going to find the truth, little child of God? Let's go to 1 Timothy 3:15, and this is indeed where, as we were sitting here this weekend, were you sitting in the house of truth? Were you listening to the words of God being presented by the elders as they were given spiritually the word of truth? Did you ingest it in your heart? Did you feel it, little child of God, as you listened to it? Did you feel the tears flow, not of sadness, but great elation and understanding that I'm a sinner? This is the truth, little child of God. I am a sinner. And here indeed is what that we have as an actual fact. But then comes the wonderful truth in crescendo and glorious appearing in that Jesus saved me because I'm a sinner. He came to save sinners. That's the truth. And that truth is in my heart, and I just revel in the fact that he came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul was wrong, I'm the chief sinner, little child of God. As I stand before you this afternoon, if I say anything, God be my helper. I want to expound unto you the truth of a loving God. And this indeed is something that I have experienced on my life, and especially here this weekend. I have heard wisdom expounded. I've heard, little child of God, that this is what we need to listen to.
Yes, sir.
And as you look upon truth, wisdom is incorporated in that. And here is where I want to guide you just for a few moments, if you'll allow me, that God gives me the strength and the words and the wherewithal to state what's in my heart, and wanting you so to know, as Paul did his brethren. We go into Proverbs 3. This child of God is something that I wish indeed that I could impart unto you, and that you would listen and heed unto me. And here is what he said. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. When I read that, little child of God, I remembered my young life. In that when through my wife, because of what God did, she led me to the truth of the loving God, although I didn't realize it, child of God, for a few months later, I can remember sitting there and finally, and you know, I thought to myself, see, I was accustomed to a very type of religion that was by letter and was done this way and this way and this way, Sunday in and Sunday out. There was no feeling, child of God. There was no spirit in that, and actually there was no truth in that. And when I came among the Primitive Baptist worship service, and Daddy at that particular time in his prime could preach an hour and 15 minutes easily, and I said, good Lord, how in the world, and what's he saying for an hour and 15 minutes? But you know, when the truth came to me, when it came to me to understand that I was a sinner, what Daddy was saying got shorter and shorter and shorter, and I began to desire more and more and more. He could preach all afternoon in that aspect, little child of God, because he was bringing me the truth, and the truth made me free. Amen. Made me free, child of God, and is still making me free. Amen. As I listen and I learn about the truth of a loving God. Where is happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. And he says, the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof is fine gold. Listen to what Proverbs said. Listen to what the preacher said. Sure, wisdom, little child of God, is better than gold. As a matter of fact, I want to ask you a question. Can you buy it? Can you go into the institutions of this life and gain the wisdom that you have in your little hearts this very day, this very moment? Do you cherish it, child of God, as the wisdom that the world gives? It was expounded so wonderfully well this very day about what wisdom the world imparts against the wisdom of what God entails in His ministry to relate it to us. Where and what shall we be, and how happy we should be all. I was sitting there, child of God, happy that the wisdom was engulfing me and just allowing me, though I was sitting down, I felt like I was flying away. Amen. On a bird of wisdom. That was something to me, little child of God, that is worth anything. She is worth more than the merchandise of anything this life can give. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared. Her length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness. And then we understand, little child of God, that here is our exhortation this morning. He says this, as we go into the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs, he says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. I am so happy, little child of God, that I'm amongst a group of people that don't desire to let this wisdom get away from them, that desire to live on it, hold it within them very cells, have their minds tuned to the wisdom of God. I'm going to show you where that it comes from in just a moment, and then give way. He said, forsake her not. God forbid that we would forsake the wisdom of God, the truth of God, as we look forward. And this is happening today. Look forward, and this is happening today.
Amen.
It breaks my heart, because I know how it makes me feel. I know how it just elates my very soul. I know how it allows me to be free from the awful clutches of life. Then he says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. I like that, little child of God. You know, my favorite psalm is Psalms 78, and here's the exhortation that David gave so long ago. He says, give ear, O my people. He's talking about the Lord's instructions to the people of God. He says, give ear, O my people. Who did he say to give ear to? O my people. Give ear, child of God. If I don't say anything else, little child of God, I hope to God that Brother Pat can get up and speak keep the words of God. Give ear to that. Give ear, O my people, he says, to my law. To my law, not the law of man. And incline your ears to the words of my mouth. He said, I will open in a parable, I will utter dark sayings of old which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We were told, child of God, there's nothing new under the sun. We don't bring you anything new. We bring you what God has done all down through time, if you will, and has given unto us. Give ear to that. One bit of exhortation as I kind of converge a little bit from this thought. I am so happy to see young adults and young children.
Amen.
But I want to exhort you older ones, as you bring up your family, to do what this psalm says to do. And I believe this is not being done, which is why we're having a falling away, per se. He says, we will not hide them from their children. Showing to the generations to come the praise of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Brothers and sisters, I know that I'm telling you a little bit about my experiences, but I can remember, and I just wish that God might have allowed me to see the truth when I was a child, as I see it today, because I can remember as I began to desire to go to meetings and to meet in houses where we find visiting brethren coming in, they got together and done some old good old hard shilling, and I can see and remember the children sitting there listening. They didn't hide it.
Yeah.
And many of you were children then. And look at you now. Where are you? In the house of truth. Because it was expounded unto you back then. He says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, that he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come.
Child.
Listen to me. I'm really preaching to the wrong people. You're doing it. You know, I wish we could have the generations of individuals. I wish we could have individuals in from the community and all these to realize what they need to do and what they're missing when they don't do that. When they talk, get together. How many times, Lord child of God, even have we found a grace said before meals anymore? I think this microwave has ruined a lot of family gatherings. Nettie would come in late, you know, and I'd fix my supper first, and then we'd throw something in the microwave, sit down and eat it, and I'd be gone, she'd come in and eat, and we're missing something. And our children are missing something. Wisdom. Wisdom, little child of God. That the generation come might know them, even the children which should be born. Hey, listen to that. The children which should be born, who shall rise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope, what? Set their hope where? In God.
Amen.
Too many children are setting their hope in material things because they have not been instructed by their parents. Whose fault is that? Not the child's fault.
No, that's right.
It's the parents' fault. But that happened way back then. Because listen to verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Brethren and sisters, here is the culmination of all being praising God, talking God, instructing our children right here. You see it. The evidence is pure and simple that the children have been instructed, and they now can instruct their children, and that generation can instruct the generation to come, and it shall follow along and along and along. And I believe with my heart and soul that the truth shall be expounded in wisdom when Christ comes back.
Amen.
To call us home to heaven and immortal glory. I want to leave you with one thought on the wisdom of God. And this entails something that was given to me by God, and it's called hope. What you were is found in Ephesians 2.
Yeah. Right.
what you were after, that God worked within you, was found later on down in that passage of Scripture.
Right.
Because wisdom enveloped you. With that wisdom that you're a sinner, and God sent His Son to bleed and die for you, in whom that we were chief, little child of God, is where that our hope is. Our hope, a little child of God, is not necessarily in the death of Christ, but the resurrection of Christ. And He promised He was coming back. Is that the truth? Did Jesus Christ say He was coming back? He did so, as we look in John 14 and 15, where He says, if I go away, I'm coming back. You look at Acts 1, where the disciples were being instructed by Christ for the very last time. And as He told them these things, He went away and disappeared in the cloud. And I can understand the feeling of those disciples at that particular time, standing there with their mouth open, and so we don't see Him anymore. Where's He gone? And the two men in white apparel came. Why are you standing gazing? Don't you remember that He said He was coming back? In like manner He's coming back. In 1 Thessalonians it told us He did and is coming back in that like manner. You know what He's going to do? He's going to bring the souls and the spirits of them that are there, call them out of the grave, and we shall be reunited. Body, soul, and spirit. Is that the truth?
Amen.
Is that the truth? We understand, little child of God, that God is a triune God. God the Father, it was expounded very greatly. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Three different gods. Is that the truth?
No.
The truth is, little child of God, they are but one. They're united, and I'm so happy to understand that truth, because if God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost was not united, we are still in our sins, a little child of God, and have no hope within our very hearts today that heaven's going to be our home some sweet day. Just one little thing about the Trinity. God the Father, the power, the creator of all things, the one that holds everything together, one that runs everything. You talk about a governor that runs. You talk about God. The one's eternal, cannot die, cannot lie, has all wisdom within Him. God is all wisdom. And then God, looking down from heaven, as was said earlier in this weekend, where that He saw the fall of man, and because of His mercy and compassion, saw fit that the Bible says, therefore His own arm brought forth salvation. Who is that arm, little child of God? Jesus Christ. Is that the truth, little child of God? Did He accomplish that which the Father gave Him to do? And we understand, because that He is a God that cannot die, that has all wisdom and everything else, He sent His Son into this low ground of sin and sorrow in the form of gave Him a body so that He could die for you and I.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
Yeah, that's true.
And then He had to go back to heaven, sit on the right hand of God the Father, signifying the finished work. Now where are we? The Holy Ghost comes in.
Yeah.
We are being taught now by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And Jesus Christ promised this. I mean, it's in black and white. It's here in the Bible, and you can't refute it. And it's everything to me that is just so marvelous and so wonderful as we look upon where that He says this. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, where did He send? Send from you the Father. Now listen to this. The Spirit of truth. Is it here? It's here. The Spirit of what? Not the Spirit of lies, but the Spirit of truth. Telling you the very same thing that Jesus taught when He was alive here in the world. And that is what the Spirit of truth tells us. He says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. He shall testify of me. Verse 7 of chapter 16 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. These are the words of truth. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Got to go away. If I don't go away, you don't have any hope. It's all gone. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Verse 13 says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth, child of God. For He shall speak, not speak of Himself. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. and he will show you things to come. Then he said, he shall glorify me. Who are we here for this weekend? To glorify God.
Amen.
Why was man created? To glorify God.
Amen.
And if we remember that, we're in a pretty good path, if you will. And he says, all things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, he shall take it of mine and shall show it unto you. God of truth. One of the most famous passages of scriptures in John 1:14, where that it is said unto this by John, and the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, a child of God, Jesus. And he says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is only of the begotten of the Father. What? Full of grace and what? Truth.
Yeah.
Full of grace and truth. The law came by Moses, but by Christ came truth to grace.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? I'm so glad that the picture was painted this weekend about the Old Testament, and that it was given of God, yet how harsh that it was, and that we had to obey that law to the jot and the tittle. And as I read back to the child of God, I remember a particular scene where that a man picked up sticks on Sunday and was what? Stoned to death for picking up sticks on Sunday. How would you like to be that to be in effect today, little child of God? Lord of mercy. I remember when this blue law came in, saying, well, we shouldn't work on Sunday, but that's going out the window. I wonder if God is honoring that. Now, I know by necessity at times that perhaps it's necessary so to do. But I'm talking about sometime during that day, can you not honor God in here? Just stop for a moment and honor God. Why? He's truth. Absolutely truth. And this is something that I just really, really enjoy. When somebody comes to you, as we kind of bring to a close, if somebody comes to you and asks you a question, what is the difference between you and us? You tell them the truth? Well, this is what we need to do. But how should we do it? How should we do it? And this is what I want to leave you with today, if I can find it very quickly. And I believe it is in Timothy 3:15. And it says this, going forth on that. Or is it 2 Timothy 3:15? One of the two. Where that he says this: be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is within you. How? With fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. As we look to our brothers and sisters outside of this church, how do we approach them? I had a good friend of mine that I worked with of a different persuasion, and he and I would talk for a long time together on the word of truth. And he was convincing me, and I wasn't convincing him. And he was of the work system, and I was of the grace system. By the way, I tell you what, if it is by works, I know a band of people I'd join.
That's right.
But it's by grace, else works is no more works. And if it be the other way, it's no more grace, else works, else grace is no more grace. It's very simple. The truth is grace, an unmerited favor upon undeserved individual, which is me. You're looking at one. And why God saw fit in His mercy and His compassion to see that I would have the truth ingested in my heart, and that's where it comes from, in my heart, little child of God, and revel in it and relish it have the feeling that this is where that I need to be and should be. Child of God, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm so glad he loves me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so glad he can come to me. I don't know where I'd be.
Right.
I guess I wouldn't be here. Looking at your faces and seeing the Spirit in your eyes. And looking upon people that have been blessed to understand the truth, and they have desires to come and listen to that truth And when they band together, even outside of the church, have a desire to talk about the truth. This may be mean of me, but when that the truth is preached in full power and demonstration of the Spirit, and you come forth during lunch hour, somebody asks you how the Dallas Cowboys are doing, that just cuts me. Why can't they say, Brother Montgomery, I've got a question for you that I want to answer about the truth. God bless you, my friend.